Are we here yet? Just before we start teaching one thing, you know, that this is one of the biggest drama that it has to be so popular by people that come here, you know, they like to see archaeology of the Bible time. Because here we found a huge, look at the size, started over there, ended over there, and this is go this way. If one day we'll be able to purchase this garden, we'll be able to excavate the hole, because the pool was not destroyed by the Roman. The Roman never destroyed the mikveh, no, they destroyed it up to the street level.
Wow.
And never touched this. If you look at the description, the archaeology description over there, we are talking about a huge pool can hold in the same time 1,000 people and more. People are waiting in a line to wash themselves here before they enter the temple. Why? Because there was not well water. And it's not rainwater, this is a spring water. That's very clean water that runs to the Kidron. So that can be the best. And we are here, very close to the city wall. The real Dan Gate is not the one we used yesterday. The real Dan Gate is on that side, about 100 yards away from here.
Wow.
This is the end of the city. That's the lower city. The lower city, the place of poor people. John 9 in the Gospel did not tell the story about the miracle of Yeshua here. And this is all genuine, except we see this was restored. That restored, this is all genuine here, all the way over there. And when you climb up a little bit over there, you see the end of the Cheesemaker Valley Street that we see a little bit of it over there. Actually, we walk on the street when we did a tunnel last night. Okay?
By the way, you're going to see the whole street. When we go to the scroll, the Isaiah scroll, where they keep the Isaiah scroll, they have a model of Jerusalem. And there you will see that whole trek we came down on, there was a street during the Second Temple period.
Wow.
It's amazing. So you're in a very historical place. Now, remember the whole themes we'll be talking about. We'll be talking about the whole theme about restoration of Israel, how the blind will be received, the blind will receive sight. Now we have in the Galilee, in which we have somebody out there who got healed, the blind man got healed. Same thing happened here, because not only was Israel in blindness, but also Judah was in blindness. Right? So this teaching here, how many of you have read John 8:9? And you read about the blind man, but you in reality never really made the connection with the places where it really happened. And now when you really understand what happened here, you're standing in a place that we know Yeshua wants to. Okay, this is a sure thing. Our Messiah walked through here at one point in his life, you know, he came here. So you are in the place where he walked, which is an incredible feat if you think about it. You know, 2,000 years later, you're walking in the footsteps literally of the Messiah. Okay, out of everything that you see in the city, that city was probably, now Jerusalem is probably 30 to 40, 50 feet, 100 feet above what it used to be. Okay, now, John chapter 9. Now Yeshua passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned? You know, talking about sin or whatever. Now, notice this guy is blind from birth.
Mm-hmm.
One thing is healing somebody, or somebody that you can who once has sight, but now he received it. Right. Another thing is somebody blind from birth. He doesn't know what anything looks like. You know, he's blind from birth. Okay. Yeshua answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me. By the way, you see the word there, who sent me? Very important. Very important. Shaliach is the sent one. Okay, Yeshua is the sent one. Okay, and this is something you need to remember, that if you present Yeshua in the light of the sent one, the one who came to bring that message of restoration from the Father, you're going to go a long way with a lot of Jewish people. While it is day, the night is coming, no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. We know that Yeshua's trying to bring a deep understanding about who he is. He said, I am the light of the world. By the way, you know in Genesis 1:1 it says, and there was light, and the world cannot, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But the rabbis tell you, the light was created on the fourth day of, the sun, the moon, and the stars were created on the fourth day of creation. So who was that light?
Yeshua.
They tell you it was Mashiach, it was Messiah. It wasn't called Yeshua back then, but it was called Messiah. The Spirit of Messiah. They tell you that the Spirit of the Lord hover over the waters of the sea, right? They tell you, well, that's the Spirit of Messiah hovering over the waters of the sea. What did Yeshua do in the Sea of Galilee? He walked on water. You see what I mean? He's trying to show you who his identity. I'm from the beginning, okay? It says, when he has said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, and he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, it is not this he who sat and begged? Some say, this is he. Others said, he is like him. And he said, I am he. Therefore, they said to him, how were your eyes open? And he answered, said, a man called Yeshua made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and received my sight. They said to him, where is he? And he said, I do not know. Now, there's a lot of information here. Why did he use clay? Why did he spit on it? Now, let's continue reading. It says, in verse 13, it says, they brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now, it was a Sabbath. It was a Sabbath when this happened. Right? Now, many Christians say, Jesus broke the Sabbath because he healed on the Sabbath. Hello? We're not reading the Bible. Because healing is acts of kindness. Preserving lives always overrides the Sabbath. You know, if you read the Mishnah of the Talmud, it tells you that if a donkey falls on a pit, you can bring him food, but don't pull the donkey out of the pit. Then you sure talk about that? You know, no, you preserve life. You bring the donkey out. You bring whatever is there now. You see what I mean? You need to feed the homeless and the needy. You do that. You save life. Even the circumcision of a brand new baby, it overrides the Sabbath. So let me ask you a question. Why did he heal on the Sabbath day? I mean, if he knew this, the Pharisees would have an issue with it, why would he do it anyway? Because their prophecy is a type and shadow of the millennial reign, where no one is going to be sick. We're going to go back to our former status of perfection. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. So therefore now, the rabbis tell you that if you spit, if I'm walking by the way on Sabbath, okay, this you find it in some of the traditions on the oral law, okay? If you're walking by the way and you spit on the rock, it's not breaking the Sabbath. But if I spit on the dirt, then I have to cover it. That's worse. I'm breaking the Sabbath. So basically, what is Yeshua doing? Mike, can you hold this for a minute? Not only is he using dirt, remember that the blind man and you and I, we come from Adama. We come from the earth. He says, I'm going to show you who I am. Not only am I the one from the beginning, but I'm going to show you whose authority I am. I'm in the authority of the Creator. So I'm going to take your tradition, and I'm going to show you what I think of it. Okay? He grabs the thing, spits, puts it in the eye, and then he sends them. Now, what does the clay represent? Men who are blind. Who does the blind man represent in prophecy?
Israel.
The condition
of Israel.
Of Israel as a nation or Judah as a nation. Why would I say Judah in this case? Where did it happen?
In
the southern kingdom, right here. So now you have the northern kingdom being blind, the southern kingdom being blind. Okay? So now you understand that this is a prophetic picture. So now he uses that thing here, the spit. He sends them to the pool of Siloam. And Isaiah, Yeshayahu, tells you something significant. There's a prophecy about this. In Isaiah, it tells you, verse 5 and 6, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, then the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, the lame shall leap like the deer, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. That's chapter 35 of Isaiah, chapter 35, verse 5 and 6. But if you go to verse 4, it tells you, say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your Elohim shall come with vengeance. Your Elohim, with recompense of Elohim, he will come and save you. See, he's the sent one. Now, there's a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 12. That's very important. We read it before. In Isaiah, I was just there. Chapter 12, and I'll be done, guys, because I'm also getting tired and I want to go eat. And it's been a long week. I can't wait for sundown today. Shabbat. Aren't we glad we rested?
Yeah. Yeah.
You think about it. With everything we've done, if we would have gone every day, there's no way you would have had the energy to go anywhere tomorrow. You see the wisdom in resting?
Yes.
All right. And I'm sure some of you will love to have a vacation from me pretty soon here. All right. Isaiah chapter 12 says, oh Lord, I praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away. You come from me. Behold, Elohim is my salvation. I will trust, not be afraid. For Yah, Adonai, is my strength and my song. He also become my Yeshua, my salvation. Therefore, with joy you will draw waters from the wells of salvation. And in that day, praise the Lord, call upon his name. declare the deeds. In other words, you know what the name of the water that came out of here was? The name. The waters here had a name. You know what the name was?
No.
Yeshua. So Yeshua came to a well that means sent, and he happens to find the blind guy here. He heals him and he sends him to the place where the waters are named Yeshua, salvation from his healing.
Amen.
See how prophetic this is? So now you're in the place where it happened. Now what other story do you have on here? What other story can you do this board, please? By the way, if you notice, the Pharisees were mad at him, not because he healed them, okay, but because he used clay on the Sabbath to heal them. You follow?
Yes.
If you read the story, they were upset. It's just like the other time, the lame man, he's laying down. The Pharisees got mad because the guy carried his bed, not because he's healed them. You see what I mean? Talk to Judaism, they'll tell you. You know the Judaism? If you go to Mir Sharim, you see the Ultra Orthodox, and you're driving through there, the kids will pick up stones to stone the car. But wait a minute, they just picked up a stone and threw it. That's also work. You see what I mean? So what are the evidence that you see of this pool in the temple service? And we talked about this. In John chapter 7. John chapter 7 is the last great day of the feast. Okay? The last great day of the feast, they will send the priest, the high priest, through the water gate to the south. He will be walking down through the whole street, the whole place we just came down through. The whole community will follow along. They have the palm trees. They have everything. And then they will make a noise like the spirit. Woof, woof. And then they had a flute player leading them on the way down to the pool of Siloam. The high priest represents the high priest who will come from heaven, the temple, to the lowest place of the earth. You follow? And then the whole community follow him. And then he will take the waters from here. Waters of salvation. He will go to the pool of Siloam. He was being led in music by the Hallel Psalms, playing the flute. Now, you know what the name of the flute player was? The Pierced One. Okay? Are you following this?
Yes. Yeah.
Now, they gather the waters of salvation. They go back up to the temple. It's like going back to heaven. And then all 250,000 people, they're standing around waiting for the ceremony. And on the eighth day, they will pour the water on the altar while the Levite is going around the altar seven times, representing Jericho. Remember?
Yeah.
And everybody will start singing the Hallel Psalms, Psalms 113 through 118. And it came to a point that I told you already about this, but it came to a point in the psalm that everybody says at one point, Ana Adonai Hoshiana, Ana Adonai Haslichana, Baruch Ata Adonai, Baruch Abba, Beshem Adonai. Blessed. Save us, we pray, O Lord. Save us now. Blessed is he in the name of the Lord. And I believe that at that moment, Yeshua stood up and said, if anyone thirsty, drink of me. For out of your belly shall flow wells of living waters. Hey, ladies and gentlemen,
amen.
This ritual has been done for years since they came back from Babylon to teach them about the future redemption and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You follow?
Yes.
And everything is right there in the Brit Hadashah. You see it right there in the Renewed Covenant. You read it, but then again, you've really never been here. This is what motivates me to bring you guys. And I know that I talk a lot, but that's what I'm here for.
Amen.
I know that I repeat things over and over because I want you to understand the context of where we are.
Amen.
In relation to the scripture. I guarantee you, when you go back to your house and you start reading about John chapter 7, and you hear about the words about the living waters, you will never forget this place. Because you've been there. No one can take it away from you now. Now, when you go through the tunnel, the Canaanite tunnel, and when you go through Hezekiah's tunnel, you've been there. You know what they went through. See, when you go talk about where Yeshua died, outside the camp. Did that make sense this morning?
Yes. Yes.
See, it's right there. You saw it with your eyes. No one can take it away from you. You see? So I want you to understand that what happened here is just more than a ritual. It's more than a story. Those single one of us or those stories is a revelation of the Messiah in his purpose, in his redemptive plan towards his people Israel. He was basically letting you know who he was. Pastor, this is exciting. When you go back to your congregation, you start teaching about this stuff. My Lord, people are going to go like, Rick, tell us more. Because it brings the life to the picture, to the story. All I try to do is bring life to the story that you've been reading for a long time. And I pray, listen, it's almost over. We're going to be leaving on Tuesday night. I pray that my way of presenting it, my way, is not the only way. It's not the best way. It might not be the correct way to some of you. It's okay. But I pray that now I provoke you that when you look at Scripture, you want to know more than what it says there. That's my heart. That you look and say, well, wait, you know, Rico says context, context. And I want to know what else is there. You know what I mean? That's my motivation. That you leave home with something. That when you take a look at a picture and you're showing all of your friends, hey, I went to the Polo Cinema, right? And they see, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. No, let me tell you about it. And then you become the teacher. You know John chapter 7, verse 38, 39? And then you begin to tell them the story, and all of a sudden, now that picture has a meaning. You see how exciting this is? That's what motivates me to do this. Because I know it will make a difference in you. Okay, do you think it's a coincidence Yeshua came here for a purpose to heal a blind guy? In the place where they're so significant, like Hillel says? The most pure water was found in this place. Isn't Yeshua like the wells of living water? Pure water comes from the heavenly? Come on. How much more instructions can we get? But if you don't make the time to come here and look at it from a contextual understanding, historical perspective, you're going to read stories in the New Testament and you're going to say, oh, that's a cool story. No, you don't understand. Without that story, we don't know who Yeshua really is.
That's true.
Without that story, we don't know his purpose. It's just a miracle? No. See, Yeshua didn't do miracles for the heck of it. If that's the case, then how come he didn't heal everybody?
Yeah, that's true. That's
right. He could have just healed everyone.
Yeah.
Okay? They're all waiting for the Messiah. How come he didn't heal everybody? Because maybe not everybody wanted to be healed. Some people are happy in their misery. You know? But he used certain vessels to show them that Israel is a blind man. By the way, Isaiah tells you that Israel is blind. Isaiah tells you Israel is blind. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, did you see what my friend said this morning when I renewed my vows with my wife? Did you hear what he said about Isaiah? About what the Lord is doing in our lives? Did you guys hear that? When he spoke? Did you realize how significant that is for me to hear?
What did he say?
He talked about me fulfilling what Isaiah says, to go to the nations, for us to be a light unto the nations, for a guy who's Orthodox to be able to look at us and be willing to say that, it is the most humbling thing. You know why? Because he can hear what we teach. And sometimes he says, I don't know about that, but you know what? He can refute half of it because he knows we are biblically, geographically, and archaeologically sound. And now we're not saying we believe in something without evidence. Now we can show the evidence and we can argue and disagree, whatever, but he knows that when he talks to us, we have the evidence. And you can only reject evidence for so long. You understand?
Yeah.
I pray that this trip has been incredible for you.
It's been excellent.
And I know we've taken you at a quick pace here and there. Because we're trying to cover. We're trying to do as much as we can. I pray that everywhere we've been, I've challenged you enough to look at Scripture in a different way. And I pray that when you leave here, you don't have to tell me whether you like it or not. You know what? Honestly, I don't need that pat on my back. I want to be faithful to my King. You know, if you really enjoyed it, tell others and bring others to the land. And if you need to bring a tour, I'll do my best to hook you up with the people that you can bring people, and then you teach them. We need to make disciples. It's not about one-man show. If you don't have the tools to teach them, use all of my PowerPoints. I don't care. But bring people to the land.
Amen.
Let them see what you see and wonders of the wonders that you see. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I thank you guys. Any questions before we finish? By the way, Michael, you just made it. Come on, make that. I want you to get it on video. Come here. And then we'll leave in 2 minutes. Come on, Mike. Mike is the leader. He's the leader. I don't know if you know. He is the leader of the congregation that I go to. And when I'm home, he's my teacher. Okay? I just want you to know how special he is to me.
I'm saying that at home, you know, we teach these things. And the pastor teaches also. We teach these things, but it's so different coming here and seeing it in a different perspective. He was saying that the blind person represented Israel, its blindness, its state of blindness. But it took from the ground to make clay to put in his eyes to be able to see. But I think for most of us, coming to the land and seeing it is what's really opening up our eyes.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's really a great, something. That's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a great point. I couldn't have said that better. Okay, thank you guys. Let's head back and thank you for being patient on this trip. We took a little longer, but